Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Bibles turn to Matthew in chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. We will spend a lot of our time in the text that has been read, Hebrews chapter 4, but there are three verses in Matthew chapter 11. I want to plant foundationally what I'm trying to preach here this morning and what I'm trying to get across. I want the whole message to be plugged into these three verses. I've got 3 points, and they're the 3 verses is what they are. And then, of course, they're lived out and fleshed out in Hebrews and chapter 4, and we'll be looking at that in just a quick moment. I hope you have come to the place in your Christian walk. If you're saved, how many of you are born again? Raise your hand instead of saying amen. How you know you're saved, all right? Jesus is your Savior. You're a member of the family of God. I hope you have come to the place in your walk, in your pilgrimage here on this earth where you realize you don't fit in with the world. The world's going in a different direction. And everything they seem to throw out there, it just doesn't fit. It just doesn't ring true for the child of God. I hope you're to the place where you've matured in the faith enough to recognize that the culture that we live in is counter to the Word of God. And you have made the correct choice, excuse me, to live the Bible way instead of becoming more like the world and living like the world. And my message this morning could be wrapped up in this. And please, I just pray you'd think about it. There may be some young adults here that you're struggling right now, and you're wondering, what the struggle? Why should I even struggle? You need to understand that this world system, this cosmos, is directly opposed, diametrically opposed to the ways of the Bible, to the ways of God. And you can know this is the Bible way and know this is the way of the world, but you still have to choose, I'm going to live the Bible way. And if you live the Bible way, there's going to be some measure, excuse me, of persecution. But you just choose right. Choose right anyway, right? Hurry up with that water, Caleb. Okay. Illustration. Last week, we have a couple of our boys that go up to the Sioux and take a welding class. I don't even take a welding class, and so they wear blue jeans. And so, we have a dress code here at Maplewood. So when they come back from welding class, they have to change their clothes. Well, one day, Jake forgot his pants, his good pants. And he was desperate. He was going to be late for class. And he come running over to the house and said, Grandpa, do you have a pair of pants I can wear? First, he was looking for his own pants. We don't have any at our house. He said, Grandpa, do you have a pair of pants I can wear? And I smiled. In the inside, I smiled. Maybe it showed. I don't know. I said, oh, yeah, I do, Jake. And I went and got him a pair of khakis, my khakis. I won't tell you what the waist size is, but, it's a little bigger than Jake's. And our inseams are close, but I think his legs are a little bit longer than mine in all reality. So, and he didn't have his belt with him. So he said, I got a belt in my locker at school. Because they have to wear a belt at Maplewood. All right, so so I give him his pair of khakis and he put it on. He's holding it like this, and his legs are, he could have put both legs in one of my legs. The legs are kind of swimming. And I went over and I sat in the chair by my window, and I could watch him as he walks towards the school down our driveway. And it was the funniest thing. It just struck me as so humorous. And I told him before he left, I said, Jake, if you don't tell anybody, maybe nobody will even notice. Well, they did. They did notice. Here's the deal. It's hard to look cool when you're wearing your grandpa's pants. You might want to write that down in your Bible somewhere, right? It's hard to look, and he didn't. He didn't look cool. He looked funny. It's hard to look cool when you're wearing your grandpa's pants. And the truth is this. In this world in which we live, as a child of God, and you are not going to look cool wearing the world's pants. They don't fit. You belong to God. You're supposed to live according to the Scriptures. And if you're living like the world is living, it's a struggle. And if you're going to wear grandpa's pants, it'll be a struggle every day of your life. Here in Hebrews, or rather Matthew chapter 11, if you'll turn there, look at verse 28. Why do I have these tickles? I haven't had them for a while. Verse 28. What I want to preach this morning is, there remaineth therefore a rest. This is verse 9 out of Hebrews chapter 4. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Some of us are struggling in life, and we don't need to be struggling. If you're the control freak, you're going to struggle every day, until you learn to trust God. And Hebrew, and Matthew and chapter 4, here's an invitation. I'm sorry, Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, this is Jesus speaking, all ye that labor, the workers, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I love that verse. I can hear Jesus saying that. His disciples, his workers. Man, they got a great yoke, a great burden on their back. And he says, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor. 600 times in the Bible, we find the word come. An invitation. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That's the way we're supposed to be. He said, look at me. That's how you're supposed to be. Meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Apart from Jesus, it's a struggle in this world. It's a battle. A lot of Christians don't realize what a battle it is. And then they get shocked when it comes their way. There's so many false religions today, it's going to be a wonderful day when all of the isms are wasms. They're gone forever. That day is coming. That day is coming when the battle is going to be behind us and the dust will all be settled. But right now, we're in it. We are in the battle. And we're under the yoke. And we're called to be in the saddle. We are called to be under that yoke. But Jesus says every step of the way, there's some things you need to learn. You need to learn of me. My yoke is easy. Quit your struggling and worrying about things that 9 times out of 10 never happen. He said, why don't you just follow me one day at a time and one step at a time? Excuse me. Allow me to lead and shepherd in your life. I'm going to tell you how to do that when we get towards the end of this short time that we have together here this morning. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 4 now. Hebrews in chapter 4. In verse 1. The Old Testament saints missed this initial rest that the writer of Hebrews is telling us about. He says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. There were those that they heard the truth about Jehovah God and what they needed to do at the tabernacle, but they didn't mix any of it with faith. And then we're looking ahead to Calvary, and they had willful unbelief. Therefore, they could not enter into that rest that is left, that is kept for the people of God. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. There is a salvation rest that is available to anyone who will come to Christ and be born again. There is not that, if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, you know nothing of that rest, that salvation rest that the writer of Hebrews is alluding to in the first part of chapter 11. Romans in chapter 5, you might want to turn over there quickly. I'm going to find it quick. I got it right now. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We're at peace with God. There is a rest that remaineth for the people of God. that the world doesn't know anything about. I don't go to bed at night alone. I don't wake up in the middle of the night all by myself against the world. I don't get up in the morning and realize it's me against the world. That's not how I live. I'm a child of God. I belong to the Father. And He's there with me every step of the way. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. That invitation to rest is all over the Bible. Look at Revelation, the last message of Revelation and chapter 22. Just verses 16 and 17. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. That's Jesus. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. You don't have to be unsaved. As a child of God, you can get born again and become a child of God and have a heavenly Father and a Holy Spirit that indwells you and a Jesus that will shepherd you all through life. That is the rest of salvation. Then there's the rest of sanctification. And know this, you don't have to be enslaved to your sin. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 23 and verses 3 and 4. Matthew chapter 23 and verses 3 and 4. If you're not saved, get saved. Every person that hears the gospel and rejects the gospel is personally responsible for their own eternal damnation. You understand? You hear the truth. It's our business, it's the church's business to get you the truth. People that are born again. But you hear the truth and you say no to God, now you are personally responsible for your own eternal damnation. You got to tread underfoot the cross of Christ in order to go to hell. You're saying no to Jesus. This morning, when you have opportunity during the altar call to come to Christ and be born again, you're going to choose. Am I going to get saved or am I not? I'm going to say no to God. And to say no to God, you're rejecting the truth. And you know nothing of rest. There's nothing like knowing you're saved. I'm serious. I see the news. I read the headlines. Things go wrong. Tragedy in our own lives. Tragedy around us. Heartbreak. Disappointment. What's going to happen next? Oh, my goodness, what's going to happen? And you wring your hands. And I have a Heavenly Father that watches over me. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God to know I'm saved. There's the salvation rest and there's sanctification rest. By the way, get involved. If you're sanctified, that means set apart, you're going to start living for God and you're going to start winning others to Christ. Yesterday at that basketball tournament, I don't know who it was because I didn't, when it first comes up, and I haven't gone back through them again, but I read it yesterday. Did you talk to somebody today about Jesus? I'm up in the bleachers. I'm saying, who in the world would have sent me that? Now I'm responsible. They just reminded me. And so I found somebody, and I talked to them about Jesus. They didn't get saved, but I talked to them yesterday. Did you talk to somebody about Jesus? Man. By the way, yesterday, we were over in Hannibal. Mom and Dad, I saw Timmy Wanasiga. And that's the name. You remember that name? That's an Indian man from the Potawatomi Reservation. He's an old man now. I just remembered him as a young man, teenager. And I saw him walking away, and I was going into the bathroom, and I come out right away, and he was gone. So I didn't get to see him. I didn't go talk to him, but it was Timmy Wanasiga. Now, it means nothing to you. It means nothing to those people that were there yesterday from our school that didn't realize he is probably the greatest soul winner the Potawatomi people ever had. Ever had. He has brought, and I had preachers tell me this since then, and he's just a little bit, I don't want to use the word simple, but, well, he got saved and he loved Jesus. And he'd bring people to church all of the time when we were over there. And he kept on. I ran into a preacher since that time. He told, man, those are his words. You know, he's probably the greatest soul winner the Potawatomi people ever had. He led people to Christ. He's an old man now. He's bow-legged. He walks with a limp. He's a little bit humped over. He turned back and looked in my direction. I saw his face. I said, man, I got to go find Timmy. And when he wasn't in the gym anymore. I don't know where he went. But that might be the greatest point of this message. I bet they didn't hear it on the radio, and that's fine by me. All right, wasn't going to let that go. Look at Matthew chapter 23 and verses 3 and 4. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, talking about the Pharisees. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. That's just being enslaved to religion. That's not what you want. That's not what you need. That's not what I want. That's not what I need. I belong to Jesus Christ. I serve him because I love him. I serve him because I owe him everything. I am not enslaved to sin. I am not enslaved to my religion. There is a rest in sanctification. I don't have to struggle my way through life. I don't have to struggle my way for salvation. Jesus did it all to him I owe. That's what the old songwriter said. It's well put. I don't have to struggle through life. There is rest in sanctification. I'm set apart to be used of God. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. For it's easy. It is light. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. You say, I don't want to live for Jesus. That's too tough. You don't understand. Sin will wear you out. It'll cut you to the bone. It'll ruin your children. It'll ruin your mate, your future mate, your wife, your husband, whoever it might be. It'll take you and mess you over. You'll end up with grandkids that aren't serving God. They'll all go in different directions. Sin will wear you out. Jesus said, it might look like it's the hard way, but you take my yoke upon you. And what did he say? He said, put it on all the way. Trust me. Don't just wear the name. Trust me. Life is a pilgrimage. And I thank God for the opportunity. There's some things in life that aren't fun, but he says, trust me. You trust me? You put it in my hands? I'll fight the battle. I've won the war. I'll help you with that burden. I'll help you with that concern. Just allow me to lead. All too often we wear the name, but we don't wear it right. And we do our own thing. There is a sanctification and rest. Go back to Matthew in chapter 4 again. I'm sorry, chapter 11. Matthew in chapter 11, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest in your souls. You didn't get there quick enough. Now go to Hebrews in chapter 4. That's where I want you to be. Hebrews in chapter 4. We'll pick up with that passage again. There's a rest in sanctification. Chapter 4. Let's just pick up with verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor. And we are supposed to labor. That means endeavor, all right? Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after that same example of unbelief. Willful unbelief. No, God, I'm not going to live that way. No, God, I'm not going to go that way. This looks like it's fun over there. I hear a lot of fun going on over there. I'm going over there. And he says, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor. You end up going over there and they beat the fire out of you. They end up being destroyed. Some destroyed to the point where they never know the rest of God again. They become embittered. They become cynical. They think everything that the others have, to have what's real, is what they have, and they're wrong. Jesus said, there's a rest, and it remaineth for the people of God. I'm going to tell you how to have that rest. I was thinking about it this morning. I've been thinking about this passage all week long. That's how I prepare to preach. That's called meditation, all right? It's not a That's not cross my legs. I don't think I can cross my legs anymore. Cross my legs. That's not it. Meditation is chewing on God's word. All right, it's having it going over in my head and in my heart again. It's taking a passage and allow it to flood my thinking. And I just keep thinking about it. And it's amazing how that works. I used to study for tests that way. Last thing I do before I go to bed at night, this is a good secret. This might be good for all of you that are still students. I'd study for the exam before I go to bed at night. Last thing I do. Then I'd go to bed, I'd forget all about it. And then I'd wake up in the morning, first thing I'd do, I'd study for that exam again. I got it, man. I have it. And you know, it's just kind of hitting it, relax, and hitting it, and for the fresh mind, and it's amazing how that works. And I do that with the Bible as well. And God just shows me things all of the time. Not new things. It's not new revelation. I'm a little thick, and he's teaching me the word of God, and I pick up on it, and I've been thinking about this passage. How do I explain how to rest in God? Here's how it is. I got 3 points. They're not alliterated. They're not fabulous and profound all by themselves, but this is how it works in Tim Rader's life. Number one, make sure you're saved. Make sure you're born again. Make sure the Holy Spirit indwells you and he's your teacher. And he'll take the word of God and he'll help you. Number two, this is so simplistic, but this is how you find the rest of God. Be faithful. Faithful in my Bible reading. Faithful in my prayer life. And faithful to my church. Just be faithful. Every day. Every day in the book. Every day in the prayer closet. Every day following God under the auspices and the authority of the New Testament local church. I rest in God. I trust him. If you take away your Bible reading, you're not going to rest in God. You're resting in Big Brother or government. You're resting in other people around you. You're resting in your own ingenuity. You're resting in your own efforts. And that's not resting in God. Jesus says, hold it. Stop. Come unto me, all your labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke and put it on. And you'll find it is light. And I'll lead you. And I'll feed you. And I'll go before you. Number three, put one foot in life in front of the other. Faith is not stagnant. Take one step at a time. And it all comes down to this is what happens. You will grow in grace, and you will grow in knowledge of God. Those are the words of Peter. Grow in grace and grow in knowledge. Saved, number one. Faithful, number two. Book, prayer closet, things of God to the church. And number three, keep putting one foot in front of the other. God isn't requiring you to leap to the moon. You put one foot in front of the other, and you will grow in grace and knowledge. Here's the danger. You get saved, you know a little bit of the blessings of God, and there's some good fellowship going on around you. But you get to the place in life, here's what you do. I'm done. Let's see what God does now. I'm not going to do any more. Let other people do it. I'm done advancing. I'm done moving forward. I know a lot of Bible already. You'll forget more Bible every day than you will ever learn in one day of Bible study. How do you know that's true, preacher? Because I got 2 Bibles that I'm preaching from now. One Bible is about 4.5 years old, and I have notes all over this Bible, and I don't even remember what those notes are about. I read it, and I'll read something that's just fabulous. And I thought, man, I wrote that down already. God already showed me that once, and I've already forgotten about it. You say, man, if a great man of God like Pastor Rader can't remember, what chance have I? Exactly. That's not what I'm saying. Get in the book every day, one step in front of the next. You just keep moving. You keep growing. Faith is not stagnant. Faith continues to grow in grace and grow in knowledge, and God will keep right on using you. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Look at the last three verses of Hebrews in chapter 4. 14, 15, and 16 are the verses. I'm just going to skip right ahead. Miss a lot of what I prepared to say, and that's okay. Service, rest. In the battle, serving God, there's rest. You ever notice how wonderful and satisfying the work of God is? You ever see that in your life? You ever lead someone to Christ and say, man, this is where it's at. This is great. I feel better than if I'd have won the Super Bowl. This is wonderful. Last Wednesday night, our young people take a turn, the young men do. Richie spoke to some of the King's kids downstairs. And you know what he told me later on? He said, you know what? When I was speaking, I felt great. He said, you know what? You might be called to preach. There is nothing as satisfying and as enjoying. You don't find any more enjoyment than when you're serving God. There is a rest in the service of God. One old wise man, I don't know if it was my dad or not, he's a wise man, but I remember hearing this, said, find something you enjoy doing and you'll never work a day in your life. Look, as hard as I can't find anybody to hire me to eat pizza. If they could, that'd be wonderful. But I love preaching. I love serving God. And if you, there is joy in serving Jesus. Hey, there's a gospel song about that too, isn't there? There's joy, joy, joy. There's nothing like it, serving Christ, and that rest. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Verse 14 says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Don't be a sissy. Don't give up. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You're not going to stand before God and say, God, it got too tough for me. You don't understand. That's a lie. God was tempted in all points. Jesus was tempted in all points just as we are, like we are. He knows exactly what you're going through, times 10, times 100. And he still conquered it. Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, because we need it, and find grace, because we need it, to help in time of need. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. I thought this would be an appropriate time to preach this message. Been a long winter. First day of March. Man, we're on the backside now. The days are longer. The sun shines a little bit warmer. And good days are ahead. There's a rest to the people of God. Some are thinking, man, I just got to take a break. I got to get out of here. That break, that rest, you find it in Jesus every day if you look to him. And he'll take care of your needs. He'll meet you. There's a rest of salvation, the rest of sanctification, and there's the rest of service. Jesus Christ is there for us. It's first day of March. And don't forget it. If you're a child of God, you're not alone. You can't wear the world, what the world has to offer. You'll look stupid to everybody that knows the score. Can't wear your grandpa's pants and look cool. You might try to look cool. You don't look cool. As a child of God, you start living like the world. You're not cool.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.